Hello and welcome back. This is the Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Now, this is a slightly different format from the normal use, and I do apologise for my absence, but believe it or not, I've actually been allowed out, including the TV filming at a detecting rally at Water Newton in Cambridgeshire. If you want, go to YouTube and type in Water Newton. I will also be now giving a short version of the news, and so if you want to find out more, go to Stone Pages and read the full report. The headlines from around the world are as follows. There's news of an Iron Age discovery in Scotland, and volunteers help protect prehistoric American mounds. Palaeolithic sites are traced in Iran, and ancient sites may be hiding in Australian bays. A prehistoric Greek water system is found. Signs of prehistoric rubbish dump is also found as evidence of Palaeolithic occupation of a cave in Spain. Stonehenge building riddle is tackled yet again, and there are fines for a developer dumping waste near an ancient hill fort in the UK. Ancient artifacts yield DNA in the Americas, and a US expert says that Lesmullen Henge in Ireland must be preserved. Bronze Age excavations are reported on in Cyprus, while the debate on Asian seafarers living in Canada 16,000 years ago continues. A student finds a Neolithic chewing gum find in Finland, and finally, a Bronze Age hideout is discovered in Albania. Archaeologists excavating a historic site in Moray in Scotland have unearthed an Iron Age pot within a trench where Roman coins had previously been discovered. The annual Burney dig got underway this week, and the discovery was made within hours of work commencing. The ancient dwelling place, which lies in a field close to Burney, came to national attention when two hoards of silver Roman coins were found in 2000 and 2001. The National Museums of Scotland are holding an open day at the site on Sunday, September the 9th, allowing residents a view of Moray life 2,000 years ago. Guided tours for adults will take place at 10 a.m, noon, 2 p.m. and 4 p.m, and children and families will also be shown around at 11, 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. For more information, call the National Museum of Scotland's Access and Outreach Officer Jane Miller on 0131 247 4215. That was Jane Miller on 0131 247 4215. The Missouri Mound Adoption Project, founded recently in Chesterfield in the USA, hopes to use a coalition of volunteers to protect Missouri's remaining prehistoric Native American mounds. The project builds on the traditional approach to mound protection, keeping the mound locations confidential, documenting them with state authorities, and then ensuring protection provided under Missouri's unmarked human burial law. Visit the website and you will find that link on the Stone Pages website. Iranian archaeologists have succeeded in tracing evidence of human being settlement dating back to the Paleolithic, 40,000 to 10,000 years ago, in Bushehr province. 16 prehistoric sites have been discovered during the excavations, among which 6 have high archaeological potential to be studied in detail. The evidence for this prehistoric activity at the moment consists of ancient stone tools. Underwater caves and sheltered bays could house a wealth of untapped pre-European archaeological treasures, so say Australian researchers. And people involved in coastal developments need to be more aware of the potential for disturbing this underwater heritage. About 6,000 years ago, the coast of Sydney was probably about 20 to 30 kilometres offshore. And as the sea levels rose, people retreated inland. This means there's probably a lot of evidence of Aboriginal occupation that is now underwater. The researchers hope to get permission from local Aboriginal landowners to collect sediment cores from the caves in the hope of finding stone tools. Archaeologists excavating a sprawling prehistoric fortress in southern Greece have discovered a secret underground passage thought to have supplied the site with water in times of danger. The passage would have allowed the people of Medea, around about 93 miles south of Athens, safe access to drinkable water even in times of enemy attack. Only 3 such networks from Mycenaean times have been found so far. The six-acre site was girdled with a wall of huge stone blocks, built around 1250 BCE. Excavations have also uncovered several buildings, some decorated with painted plaster walls. They've also uncovered pottery, a clay figure of a goddess, seal stones, and an amethyst vase shaped like a triton's shell. A prehistoric Spanish hunting group that may have had its own tribal symbols appears to have drawn, hunted, slept, eaten, and lived in the cave before moving on. The research looked at a buried pile of black bones found in the interior of El Mirón Cave near the northern coast of the Iberian Peninsula. Engraved red deer shoulder blades, along with images of red deer hinds found at the site, were probably stylistic markers of original band. The cave is also well known for rock art and decorative objects such as shell and tooth ornaments. The bones, which date to around 13,000 years ago, belong to butchered red deer, ibex, roe deer and chamois, and even some small carnivores. Tests revealed that the bones had not been painted or burned as was first thought, but the black staining was due to the presence of manganese oxides and hydroxides, basically leftover meat and other food waste decomposing with the bones. What is known is the first stones set up at Stonehenge, weighing about 5 tonnes, were brought from Wales by water, around about 2,500 BCE. Some 200 years later, they were dug up and rearranged into the familiar 100-metre diameter outer circle and inner horseshoe that's seen today. Heavier stones were also brought in, weighing up to 45 tonnes, which were dragged from the Marlborough Downs close by. It's the accepted sheer manpower playing a part in erecting each upright in the holes in the ground. But the real puzzle is exactly how the ancient Britons managed to hoist the massive crossbars onto the top of the towering edifices. Engineer Nick Wiegengner claims simple mechanics and a cunning invention played their part, and he's built a model of how he thinks the stones were put in place and christened it the Litholift. Archaeologist and broadcaster Julian Richards, who's also seen the Litholift, said it was a very interesting idea, saying the principles all work, but perhaps it was just a little bit too sophisticated for the people at the time. But Mr. Wiegengner is now keen to build a proper version of his invention. Draft carpentry plans are now in place, with a wheel some 12 to 14 feet in diameter. This he intends to use to prove his thesis. You'll read the full story, probably actually read slightly better, online at Stone Pages. A British landowner, one of his tenants, and a local trader were ordered to pay some £15,000 in fines and costs for illegally dumping huge amounts of waste on land designated as a scheduled ancient monument. In March 2006, the Environment Agency became aware that a significant amount of waste was dumped on land at an ancient hill fort at Tunley, 3 miles southwest of Bath in England. The waste consists mainly of construction and demolition waste. An investigation revealed that Stephen Jones had been responsible for depositing waste and he was found guilty of damaging the site. Well done there. A few years ago, Stephen LeBlanc, an archaeologist and collections manager at Harvard University's Peabody Museum in Cambridge, Massachusetts, realized he could extract ancient DNA from prehistoric quids, which are wads of plant material chewed by ancient Native Americans. In the September Journal of Field Archaeology, LeBlanc and several co-authors report that they have recovered a DNA from 2,000-year-old quids, as well as from aprons worn by Native Americans. They scanned the DNA and found that about 14% of these samples contain a molecular marker called a haplogroup. This haplogroup is extremely rare in the Southwest, but it occurs in about half the population of Central America. The intermediate frequency in the sample of Western basket makers fits with the idea that they migrated from somewhere in central Mexico, bringing agriculture into the area for the first time. Newly discovered 2,000-year-old site at Lismullen near Tara in Ireland must be fully preserved because of the unique size and character, a US academic says. State archaeologists began excavation work on the prehistoric Lismullen structure earlier this month, claiming it was under threat from adverse weather. Dr. Ronald Hicks of Ball State University, Indiana, argues it is part of a larger ancient ritual complex. Dr. Hicks states that rather than being a delicate wooden henge, the site sits in a natural hollow to form an ancient amphitheatre. The structure is very much intact and could and should be preserved in situ. According to the study, the new report contradicts many NRA findings and is being sent to the European Commission, who are currently examining whether the legal basis of the order to demolish the site is in breach of EU law, as well as the World Monuments Fund, who are monitoring the situation now that Tara is on their 100 most endangered sites list for 2008. Former Environment Minister Dick Rock signed an order of preservation by record, meaning that the prehistoric henge would be photographed, drawn and measured before being levelled to make way for the motorway. Archaeological investigations in the past summer featured renewed excavations at Bronze Age community of Politico-Trulia, about 25 kilometres southwest of Nicosia in Cyprus. These were in the copper-bearing foothills of the Troodos Mountains, and they brought to light a series of households that produced evidence of intensive animal domestication and crop processing, copper and bronze metallurgy, and sophisticated ceramic technology. According to the excavations, this took place during the Middle Bronze Age, just prior to the advent of the cities of the Late Bronze Age. The excavations involved graduates and undergraduate students from Cyprus, Canada, Australia, and the United States. In a Canadian archaeological project that could revolutionise understanding of when and how humans first reached the New World, federal researchers in British Columbia have begun probing an underwater site off the Queen Charlotte Islands for traces of a possible prehistoric camp on the shores of an ancient lake long since submerged by the Pacific Ocean. The landmark investigation, led by Parks Canada scientist Darrell Fedger, is seeking evidence to support a contentious new theory about the peopling of the Americas that is gradually gaining support in scholarly circles. It holds ancient Asian seafarers drawn on by food-rich kelp beds ringing the Pacific coast of present-day Russia, Alaska and British Columbia began populating this hemisphere thousands of years ago before the migration of Siberian big game hunters, who are known to have travelled across the dried-up Bering Straits and down an ice-free corridor east of the Rockies as the last glaciers began retreating around 13,000 years ago. Interest in the theory has been stoked by recent DNA studies in the US showing telltale links between a 10,000-year-old skeleton found in an Alaskan cave and genetic traits identified in modern Japanese and Tibetan populations, as well as in Aboriginal groups along the west coast of North and South America. A British archaeology student has discovered a 5,000-year-old piece of chewing gum. Sarah Picken found a lump of birch bark tar complete with Neolithic tooth prints while on a dig as a volunteer in Finland. Neolithic people used the material as an antiseptic to treat gum infections as well as a glue for repairing broken pots. Miss Picken was one of five students from Britain on a volunteer programme at the Kirikki Centre, a museum and archaeological exhibition on the west coast of Finland. An archaeology team reports that the mountains of northern Albania, perhaps the most remote place left in Europe, had been a hideout for a surprisingly long time. A leader of the expedition reports on this summer's expedition. Now he's back from the Shala Valley in northern Albania's mountain. 500 years ago, people came here fleeing the Ottoman Empire, and perched on a promontory near the village of Grunas are the remains of walls, which the team initially assumed were from a hideout left over from the 1500s. However, a little digging on the 2006 expedition revealed something wrong with the walls. They were too old and were made of Cyclopean stone, boulders roughly fitted together without any mortar, a style associated with the Bronze Age kingdom of Mycenae. Instead of a medieval refuge, the team had unearthed the remains of a fortress from the Bronze Age, sometime around 800 BCE, as indicated by a radiocarbon date and the pottery and stone tools left there. Well, there we are, and as I said, if you actually found any of these stories interesting, and I actually found all of them interesting, then find out more by visiting Stone Pages and reading the full story and the links that they have there. Can I also remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And at long last, Past Horizons Archaeological Tool Stores is in operation. So you can buy all the best equipment for your archaeological excavations at www.pasthorizons.com/shop. And remember, as I always say, more can be found at Stone Pages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks for listening and thanks for waiting for me. I will and hope to return again next week.